Galatians chapter 3, verse number 7. Galatians 3, verse number 7. Now, this is not our primary scripture this morning. We're going to look at another one that will give us a little more explanation, but this will kind of direct us there. How do we know if we are winning or losing the good fight of faith? How can we tell whether we're making ground or whether we're losing ground? I believe it's helpful for us to go to the Word of God and find an example there of a man or a woman who won the good fight of faith and find out how he won it. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7 reads thusly, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, those who are faith-filled and faith-living people, those who have won the fight of faith or are winning it, the same are the children of Abraham." The children of Abraham, those who are like Abraham, chip off the old block if you would want to use that expression, are those who are winning in the fight of faith. And so Abraham is a character whose life, if we understood a portion of it, if we understood how he won the victory, then if we emulated that, we could be sure that we would win it as well, couldn't we? Does that make sense to you? Well, let's go to the book of Romans then, into the fourth chapter, a passage of scripture that to many of you is not unknown. But I think it's time for us to have a review. For those of you who perhaps have not been taught in this passage of Scripture, this will be helpful to you today. How do we know if we're winning or losing the good fight of faith? Romans chapter 4 is a discussion by the Apostle Paul of the life of Abraham, his faith. I'm going to take just a few verses, the 18th, through the 21st, and zero in on some specific statements about Abraham's faith. And we're going to examine a losing faith and contrast it to a winning faith. Verse number 18. Who, this is Abraham now, is the subject of this whole discussion. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now this was the word that God had given him, that his seed would be multiplied, that he would be the father of many nations. In fact, that's why his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, to signify the promise of God. Every time that name was spoken, he was reminded of the promise. God had told him that his seed would be many, that he would have more descendants than there were stars in the sky. And Abraham, those of you who know anything about his life, know that he waited 25 years before he had his first child of promise. Long time he waited for the promises of God to come to pass. He stood in faith for a long time before he finally gained the ultimate victory. How did he do it? Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, from this passage of Scripture, I want to identify two characteristics of losing faith and two contrasting characteristics of winning faith. And if you will listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you from this passage of Scripture, you will be able to identify for yourself whether you are winning or whether you are losing this good fight of faith for the particular promise of God that you are expecting or believing God for. Weak faith or losing faith, according to this passage of Scripture, has two characteristics. One is that it concentrates on the circumstances and on the senses. The scripture says that Abraham was not weak in faith because he did not consider the condition of his own body, being 100 years old. And he paid no attention to the fact that his wife's womb was dead. His wife was 90 years old. She had long ceased after the manner of women. It was absolutely impossible in the natural for her to conceive seed. There was no child of promise. He was 100 and she was 90. Can you imagine where you would be if you were in that condition? Can you imagine how you would feel about God having promised to make you the father of many nations and you're 100 years old and you don't have a single child yet? One of promise, I mean. One from the woman that God promised that it would come. Weak faith concentrates on the impossibilities of the circumstances round about. And the influence of what you can see and hear and feel with the natural senses is stronger than the promise that God has made. Your attitude and your profession and your actions are controlled by the circumstances. Fortunately, Abraham is cited as a man who was not weak in faith. But I can say to you this morning that you are losing the fight of faith if the circumstances concerning your situation are stronger and have more influence in your life than the word, the promise of God. You're losing the fight of faith. And you're not going to win it unless you change in that area. Weak faith or losing faith puts more emphasis on the circumstances and sensual information, that which is acquired by the senses, what you can see and hear and taste and smell and feel, than it does on the promise, the word of God. That is a losing faith. The second characteristic of a losing faith or a weak faith is that a weak faith staggers. Verse number 20 tells us that Abraham staggered not. He did not stumble. He did not waver. The image here is a person who is intoxicated and he doesn't know where he's walking. And he's walking this way one minute and this way the next. And he's going from side to side and one step forward and two steps back. And he's wavering between, yes, God's going to do it and I don't believe he will. And, oh, yes, God's going to do it, he promised, but yeah, I don't believe that he will. And he's constantly wavering. His mind is double. He's so fogged up and clouded up that he can't home in on the promise of God. A person who is double-minded or one who is staggering is one who is losing the fight of faith. If you're trying to believe God for a promise that he's made in your life and you are staggering from one extreme to the other, you are losing your fight. That is not something that is natural. It is not something that it's all right to do. It's not something that you can do and in the end everything will work out okay. It won't work out. A losing faith is a faith which staggers and wavers between faith on one side and unbelief on the other. The word says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Wavering, beloved, and staggering is the manifestation not of faith, but rather of unbelief. And what you're doing when you're staggering and when you're waving, oh, I believe God's going to heal me. Well, I feel so awful. Well, God promised that himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, but the doctor says I've only got a week to live. The word of God says that surely he hath borne my griefs and carried my sorrows, but oh my God, my body hurts so. Now you tell me what that is. That is staggering. That is wavering. And it is not faith. You are losing the fight. It's not faith. It's not faith. It's not faith. The Bible calls it a weak faith. And it's a losing faith. Well, what constitutes a winning faith? What describes a faith that obtains the promises and the blessings of God? First of all, we see one part of it in verse number 20. The first aspect is we're told that Abraham, while he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, he was strong in faith. And what did he do? He gave glory to God. A strong faith, a winning faith, is a faith that causes you to be filled with the rejoicing of the Lord. The word of the Lord came out of Psalm 5 and 11 this morning, didn't it? And said, they that trust in the Lord will do what? They'll rejoice. They'll be joyful before the Lord. What does that mean? They'll be like Abraham. They'll be giving glory to God regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you can see. You're believing God for the salvation of one of your loved ones, and he's going further and further and further and further into sin. Are you going to win that fight, or are you going to lose that fight? Bless God, I'm going to win it in my circumstances. I resolve to win it. How are you going to win it? You maintain your joy. You maintain your confidence in the Lord. You begin to praise God. You begin to thank him in the absence of any evidence to the contrary. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, even though he could not see a child. And he could see no reason why he would ever have one, except God had promised it, and God was able to bring it to pass. And so, one of the first qualifications, according to this passage of Scripture, of a winning faith, a strong faith, is a faith that is willing to praise God, regardless of the circumstances, to worship God in the absence of any kind of present-day manifestation, a faith that is willing to give thanks to God where the promise is in control and not the circumstances. Do you understand that? Verse number 21 shows us the second attribute of a strong faith. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. A person who is fully persuaded does not stagger. A person who is fully persuaded means that he is so absolutely convinced that there's no room for wavering. There's no confusion in him. There's no double-mindedness. There's no this way today and a different way tomorrow. There's no conflict there between faith and unbelief. Strong faith will not let unbelief rise up. The kind of faith that Abraham had would not permit any opposing views or any opposing contributions coming from circumstances or devilish thoughts. Strong faith is fully persuaded. With strong faith, there is no staggering, there is no wavering, there is no double-mindedness. In the epistle of James, the first chapter, James says that a man that is double-minded is unstable in all of his ways. And he goes on to say, let not a man who's in such a condition think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A man who is wavering and is two-minded about the thing, whatever it is he's believing God for, he is losing the good fight of faith. Don't you make any mistake about it. He's losing it. Oh, well, I'll just keep going on like this, and sooner or later, God is in heaven and everything will be all right. No, everything won't be all right. No, everything won't be all right. You're going to have to rise up and take the promise of God and take the word of God and stand on it and take the promise that God has given you like a sword and cut the heart of that devil out, like we said last week. You're going to have to be strong in faith to win the victory. Abraham waited 25 years, but you know, he could have waited 125 years and still never had the promise if he hadn't been strong in faith. Abraham was fully persuaded. There was no doubt in his heart or mind that God was going to bring that promise to pass, and bring it to pass, he did. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about this morning. Those of you who are saved, you're truly born again. You know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you know that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. You know that heaven is your home, and you know that you're saved. You know that your salvation experience is real. Think about it. When was the last time that you had any doubt about your salvation? Just think. I don't want to hear any answers. I want you to think about it. When was the last time you had doubts about your salvation? You got that one together, don't you? See, that's a faith fight. You're winning, aren't you? Now, I've heard it said, and so have you, that a few honest doubts is all right. I'm going to tell you, a few honest doubts will kill you. A few honest doubts will cost you your salvation and whatever else you're believing God for. I can't tell you when was the last time that I had any doubt about whether or not I was saved. I don't even remember anything like that. It's so long ago, it's so far in the past. I've won that fight. I fought it and I won it. Oh, sure, the doubts came. Sure, the doubts came. There were days when I didn't feel saved. There were days when it was hard for me to pray in the Holy Ghost. There were days when I did not sense the presence of God. There were days when I cried out of this mouth right here, "Oh Lord, why have you forsaken me?" Yes, there were days like that, but there's never been a day that I doubted that I was saved. That's been such a long time ago, I don't even remember what that was like. No wavering, no staggering, no double-mindedness, no circumstantial influence. This book right here says that if I believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'd be saved. I'm so sure of that, that nothing, nothing, nothing could cause me to disbelieve that. Not as long as I live. How about you? You've won that fight, haven't you? That is a winning faith. That kind of faith, the kind of faith that you have for your salvation experience, that is a winning faith. When you can develop that same faith for your healing, you'll be healed. When you can develop that same kind of faith for the salvation of your family, they'll be saved. When you can develop that same kind of faith, when you have won the fight of faith for whatever it is that God has promised you, whether it's spoken through the pages of this book, or whether it's Rhema word that has come to you through the mouth of the prophet, whether it's God speaking to you in the privacy of your own personal devotional life, you have the Word of God, you have the promise of God, you're fighting the fight of faith, the devil is coming in there and he's lying to you, he's saying it's never going to come to pass, you misunderstood the Lord, look around you circumstantially, it's impossible for this to happen. The devil is trying to destroy the promise. You're in a faith fight. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're in a faith fight. You will lose the fight if circumstances are allowed in your mind to become more important than the promise of God. You will lose the fight if you are continually staggering and wavering and double-minded between faith and unbelief. You will, on the other hand, however, win the fight if you are able to give glory to God in the midst of your circumstances, regardless of how bad they look, and if you are so fully persuaded in your heart that what God promised you He is able to do, that it permits no staggering and no wavering and no double-mindedness, you'll win the faith fight. Now I want you to ask yourself once again, are you winning the good fight of faith, or are you losing it? Are you winning it, or is it beating you? I know so many of you so intimately, and I know some of the things that you're believing God for. And I know how impossible it seems that the promises that God has given us in this book could ever come to pass. It looks like that's an absolute impossibility. Jump in the tent alongside Abraham. Have a little conversation with a 100-year-old man who's got a 90-year-old wife. Talk it over with the father of faith. Figuratively, I mean. Begin to see the promises of God. Fully persuaded that what God had promised, He was able to do. Are you fully persuaded? I believe there are times when we need to stop crying out to the Lord and begin to look at ourselves and see, what am I doing? Am I winning the fight that is laid ahead of me? Or am I losing it? The fight of faith is a fight to be won. Jesus has made us more than conquerors. But if we're not willing to fight, and if we don't resolve to win, that steamroller going to run over you, the same as it has over millions who you've observed. Let's fight to win. Let's fight to win. Let's fight to win. Let me ask you to bow your heads, please.